Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I work fire lookout shifts in Arizona. Something out there is wearing my face. I work fire lookout shifts in northern Arizona. Pine country, high elevation. Isolation is part of the job. Most nights, it's just the crackle of the radio, the hiss of wind through the pines, and the occasional coyote. I've been here long enough to recognize every sound this forest makes. Or at least, I thought I had. 2 weeks ago, I saw something on the ridge west of my tower. At first I thought it was a hiker. Tall, lanky, moving slow through the trees. I grabbed the binoculars, logged it, called it in. That's standard procedure. Except it was close to midnight, and that ridge doesn't have trails. No one should have been there. I kept watching. The figure stopped between two pines, perfectly still. It tilted its head, like it was listening. When I tried the radio again, the signal cut into static. A second later, I heard my own voice echo back over the frequency.
Everything's fine, just logging it.
Those were the exact words I had spoken a minute earlier. That's when it screamed. Not an animal scream. Not even close. It sounded like something trying to force words through a throat that had forgotten how to use them. Half human, half animal, all wrong. The sound clawed at me in a way I still feel when I try to sleep. By the time I steadied my hands and looked back through the binoculars, it was gone. The next morning, I asked the rangers to sweep the ridge. They didn't find hikers. Didn't find campers. The only out of place was an elk carcass, ribs splayed like fingers, hide hanging in strips. The kill didn't look clean. Not torn by wolves, not eaten by scavengers. The cuts were messy, almost deliberate. That night, I kept the spotlight sweeping the tree line. For hours, nothing. Just the sway of the pines and the quiet weight of the dark. Around 2 a.m., I caught something crouched just outside the edge of the light. Not an animal. Not a man. something in between. Its skin was stretched too tight, like it was wearing something that didn't belong to it. The face, if I could even call it that, looked borrowed. Lips crooked, jaw unhinged too far, like it wasn't built to stay attached. It mouthed words I couldn't hear, but I felt them deep in my teeth, in my bones. Moments later, it bolted, moving faster than anything should be able to. 2 nights later, one of the ground crew went missing. We found his truck abandoned on a service road, headlights still burning, engine still running. The driver's side door was wide open. The snow around the vehicle was covered in footprints. Bare feet, too long, too many. We found him 3 miles deeper into the forest. He was strung up in a ponderosa pine like someone had tossed him there. Throat gone, tongue left whole. The snow at the base of the tree had been disturbed. Smears of blood and dirt traced into words. It wears you. After that, I stopped sleeping. Every night, I heard it closer. Sometimes it circled the tower, breathing under the floorboards. Sometimes it whispered my name in voices that belonged to people I knew. My brother, my old supervisor, even my own. One night, I broke. I whispered back. What do you want? It answered in my voice. Let me in. I filed the report, asked for reassignment. Base denied it, said the evidence was inconclusive. So I stayed, kept watch, waited. The following week, venison disappeared from cold storage. Not cut, not bitten. Torn apart by hand. Fingernails embedded in the fat. Tracks led from the locker straight to the tower stairs. Halfway up, pressed into the wood, was a face. Not carved, not drawn. Pressed. Like something with no skin of its own had leaned hard enough to leave an impression behind. It looked like me. That was 4 nights ago. Since then, the tower had gone quiet. Too quiet. No radio chatter. No animal sounds. Just me in the trees, and something circling when the sun goes down. Last night, I woke to the sound of footsteps on the stairs. Slow, heavy, pausing between each step like it was waiting for me to move first. I gripped the rifle and kept the spotlight trained at the door. Soon after, I heard knocking. Not on the tower door. On the glass right behind my head. I froze, didn't breathe. The knock came again, louder. I turned. There was a face pressed to the glass. My face. Only the eyes weren't mine. This morning, base called. Said they had gotten reports of me transmitting all night long. Calm, steady. "It's fine," they said to them. "Just logging it." Thing is, I never touched the mic. The radio's been dead for days. I should have left. Packed up, climbed down, and never looked back. But the forest feels wrong now. Like it's waiting for me to try. And tonight, it's worse. The air is heavy. Still. The tree line looked closer than it did yesterday. About an hour ago, I heard movement below the tower. Not circling this time. Climbing. Nails on wood. I stayed at the top of the stairs with the rifle leveled. Something paused halfway up, breathing like it had lungs too big for its body. Slowly, the breathing shifted until it matched mine. Inhale for inhale, exhale for exhale. I backed away, waited. After a moment, the sound stopped. When I checked the stairs, nothing was there. But on the landing, scratched into the wood with something sharp, were three words. You are tired. Now it's past midnight. The spotlight just flickered. My reflection in the glass isn't lining up anymore. It's smiling when I'm not. I keep catching glimpses of something tall between the trees. Something wearing pieces of me that didn't fit right. And every time I blink, it's closer. Not in the tree line anymore. Not outside. In the tower. Standing. Just behind me. We shouldn't have gone camping in the Georgia backwoods. I haven't slept in 3 days. Every time I close my eyes, I hear the chittering again. This wet, awful clicking sound. The rattle of legs scraping across wood. And when I wake up, I smell her blood, still feel it on my hands. I know how this sounds. Everyone thinks I'm just another camper out in the sticks claiming they saw something unnatural. But it's true. I hope you believe me. I hope you never make the same mistake as me. I hope you don't forget her. Her name was Katie. She was my best friend, and I had known her since we were 11. We both needed to get the hell out of Atlanta for a while, so we planned a weekend off-grid, no phones, no distractions trip. Just a couple of days out in the wild with a cooler of beer and a two-person tent. You know, that trip everyone talks about, but few people ever make the lunge for it. Well, we made the lunge. She was fresh out of a bad breakup. I was fresh out of a job. We had everything to lose and nothing to gain. So, we went for it. We picked a spot on the map near Chattahoochee National Forest, but hiked further off any established trail. I don't know why. She was so brave and adventurous and pretty. I've always had a hard time letting her know. Still, I'm talking hours deep into green nothing. We set up camp by a creek, cracked open a couple of drinks, and listen to the frogs and cicadas take over the world. The first night was perfect. The second wasn't. It started with a sound outside of the tent. We thought it was rain at first, but it was too rhythmic. Tap, tap, tap. I sat up in the tent. Katie was still asleep, curled into her sleeping bag. Was it a raccoon? I unzipped the flap and poked my head out. Nothing. I went back to sleep. I shouldn't have. 2020, right? The next morning, everything was fine. I forgot about the sound completely, and our days stretched out totally normal. Around noon, we found a trail we hadn't seen before. It was just a narrow little cut between the trees, half overgrown and lined with old deer tracks. We followed it. About 20 minutes in, we found the cabin. It looked abandoned. Hardly anything more than wooden slats peeling up, roof sagging, a rusted buck trap hanging from a hook on the porch.
Hello?
Katie called. I wanted to turn back. I really did. But she pushed the door open and I followed her. Because that's just what I did. Everyone has that friend, right? The one who would follow you to the ends of the earth. The ones we wish were more than a friend. Inside, the air was wrong. Thick, like it was full of hair. Dust floated in lazy spirals. The walls were lined with old hunting trophies. A bear skull, antlers with strips of dried velvet still hanging off it. Empty glass jars. Something clattered in the back room. Someone's here, I hissed. We should go.
Probably an animal, Katie said.
We walked over to a counter, picked up a dusty mason jar. It had a strange, almost purple liquid in it.
What do you think this is, detergent?
Katie! The sound came from the back again, and then there was a massive shadow. It stretched out into the hallway like it didn't know how to keep itself small. I can't describe it exactly. It had legs, too many of them, and a body like wet leather, and something human-shaped where the head shouldn't be. It moved so damn fast. It hit Katie first. She didn't even have time to scream. One second she was behind me, and the next, she was on the floor, her legs kicking, her throat wide open. Blood hit the walls, my hands, my pants. It was everywhere. I bolted out the door, down the trail, through the trees. It followed me, the chittering constant and loud. I don't know how long it chased me, only that when I got back to the creek, it was gone. I wondered if it was unable to cross the water. And suddenly, briefly, I collapsed and vomited until I saw stars. I made it to the ranger station the next morning. They said they searched. Said they found blood near my old campsite, but no body. No Katie. No monster. They think I killed her. I could see it in their eyes. They're just waiting for me to slip. But I didn't kill her. That thing in the cabin did. I just want someone else to know. And hey, if you ever see anything like that in the woods, just know you aren't alone. I believe you.